Zyn nicotine pouches deliver nicotine satisfaction anywhere, anytime, which means Zyn pairs well with you, your personality, your schedule, and your spontaneity. Zyn fits easily into your bag, pocket, and into your life because it's smoke-free, hands-free, and hassle-free. So the only person who will know you have a Zyn pouch in is you. Visit Zyn.com or head to your local convenience store today to find your Zyn. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Pause for a big thank you to our partner making today's program possible. It's Dexcom. With the new Dexcom G7, you get better diabetes results without those awful finger sticks. It sends your glucose numbers to your compatible phone or to your watch so you can always see where you are and where you're heading. See how food and exercise affect your glucose. It makes it easier to spend more time in range and lower your A1C. Take more control of your diabetes with the number one recommended CGM brand. It's so easy to get started today at Dexcom.com. Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
Thanks, Dexcom, for being our partner.
In the 90s, New York detective Louis Scarcella locked up the worst criminals.
Putting bad guys away,
there's no feeling like it.
Then jailhouse lawyers took aim, led by Derek Hamilton.
Scarcella took me to the precinct and lied.
20 men eventually walked free. Now, in the Burden podcast, after a decade of silence, Louis Scarcella finally tells his story, and so does Derek Hamilton. Listen to The Burden on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a special episode of Crime Stories with Nancy Grace, Finding Chase Masner, Episode 3.
This week marks 3 years since her son, Chase Masner, vanished in Cobb County.
Living the last 3 years with the not knowing and without him here is pure hell.
Chase Masner is an Iraq War veteran, a husband, a father.
His wife told us she dropped him off at a Quick Trip in Cobb County where he works.
His family says he was last seen at a friend's house in Kennesaw 3 years ago on March 27th.
It's like he vanished from that home, not to be seen or heard from again.
If he was able to reach out to any one of us, he would.
Despite some intense searching, few clues have been found.
She tells me that as a mother, in her heart, she feels her son Chase is dead.
We have absolutely no answers at all. Not even the slightest clue in 3 years. We're back at square one, Stephanie, because we have to talk to Brad. That's the missing link here. Now, we know he has refused a polygraph and then stated again he will take a polygraph. I'm going looking for him. Armed with nothing but my iPhone, and I am going to find him. And I'm going to ask him what happened. I'm going to see what story he's going to tell me, and we'll take it from there. But I want to know from you, as we sit here together right now, what are your thoughts?
I just want to know the truth. I want to know what happened to Chase.
Do you believe Chase is still alive?
I do not.
Now, are you saying that with your heart and your head, or...
Yes, I don't believe he's alive.
Can you think of a reason that anyone would have wanted him dead?
Not a single reason.
Well, we looked and we looked and we searched and we found the wild card, as I like to call him, Brad Clements. We found him. I beat on his door. He opened the door and he let me in. I want you to hear what he said when I questioned him, grilling him over an hour and a half about the disappearance of Chase Masner. Before I go to that, thank you, Crime Con, for sponsoring our podcast today in our search for Iraqi vet, husband, and father of two little girls, Chase Masner. Crime Con. All crime sleuths and crime busters are converging, professional and amateur, in Indianapolis, June 9 through June 11. Alan and I will be podcasting live. We hope you join us. Go to crimecon.com and use code Nancy for 20% off. I'm going. I'm going to be there for the podcasts and to see all of you, and I surely hope you join us. Thank you, CrimeCon, for today. And now, let's hear what the wild card, Brad Clements, has to say. Listen.
I'm trying to figure out, especially after I met Chase's mother yesterday, that about broke my heart. I mean, it's been all this time, she still doesn't even know what happened. She thinks Chase is dead. Do you think he's dead?
I don't know. I mean, I hope that he's not, but I don't know. Like, I've wondered about it, and, you know, the last time that I was with him, I hardly knew them, really. Like, I met him maybe 3 or 4 times.
I thought you'd been over to their house.
No, I've been over to their house, like, after all of this happened. Like, I went
over
there.
Didn't you go to put together a ping pong table or a pool table or something like that?
No, never. That was the only time I'd gone over to their house is when, what's her name, Amanda?
Yeah.
Amanda called and asked me to come over there and, like, talk to her. And I went over there with my dog to, like, you know, talk to her about all this. And, like, it was kind of odd, me being over there. And,
because really you only knew her through Chase.
Right. And I never really, you know, talked to just her. And it was, you know, I kept hearing all these, you know, mixed things, you know. Well, this is later, I guess, like, about her and, like, his friends and stuff. And
what do you mean, her and his friends?
I don't want to throw her under the bus or anything, but I mean, it's just, you know, I don't.
Are you saying that she'd slept around?
I mean, that's kind of the word
on
the street.
Is that what Chase thought?
I mean, that's kind of what I thought when I went over there to see her. Like, that she, you know, wanted, like, I don't know. It's just,
did she hit on
you? Oh, yeah. I mean, like, she was like, well, she called me up and was like, hey, can you bring me some pot? To, like, smoke some pot. Do you want to smoke some pot with me? And I was like, at this point in my life, I wasn't smoking. And I was like, I think I have, like, a grinder that you could scrape. And she was like, yeah, bring it over here. And I was like, okay.
She'd take it out of a grinder?
Well, it was, like, you know, the resin stuff that you could, like, scrape.
Yeah.
And, I mean, because apparently they smoke, like, a lot. Because, you know, the whole thing where she called up, what, like, her mother or someone to, like, help them clean up something in the house? Like, they were growing pot plants. You know, they had a bunch of pot plants they were growing in the house. And that's why she was like, hey, I need you to come over here and help me clean this up. Because they were cleaning out all the pot plants before the cops came over there. So that was, like, a big thing with that. But
that could be part of the reason she doesn't want to talk anymore. Because she doesn't want to be dragged in some way.
Yeah, she was really, like, you know, just, I guess, worried about that. And I was like, it's not even that big of a deal. It's like, people grow pot plants all the time in their backyard, you know, especially here in the South. But
I don't know about that, but okay, I'll just take your word for it.
Let's pause for just one moment. I want it clear. This is Brad's story. We, Crime Online, have reached out repeatedly to Chase's wife to give her the chance to respond to these allegations, and we are still waiting. Meanwhile, we don't have evidence that she has used pot or any other drug or any other type of behavior that Brad is talking about. This is his explanation of how he is not involved in the disappearance of Chase Masner. Now, I look forward to the day that I get to speak to Amanda. This is Brad's story, so take it with a box of salt, and you be the judge.
Now, I want to get to, so.
I mean, see, the thing is like, I hardly knew them. Like, they were good friends, or semi-good friends with my friend Alan, who lived in the house with me.
Okay.
And like, I had to make him leave because he wouldn't pay me rent. And, you know, I also caught him, like, cross-dressing, and he thought I was going to tell all, you know, all our friends that he was, like, dressing up like a girl and stuff. And so he told Amanda and them that I, like, shot heroin into Chase and killed him and put this all in their head just to get me in trouble.
Why would you use up heroin on somebody else?
And in fact, somebody that I don't even know, you know, I mean, why would you do something where that's another thing. It's like, I just don't know. Why would you take somebody that you hardly know and then get them high with heroin where you know people overdose all the time? And it's like,
okay, what do you think Chase was on?
I don't really think he was on much other than pot and alcohol that night. I mean, that's...
I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he was trying to get more. Like, and I gave him some cash. I gave him $60.
What did he want? Was he into...
He was trying to get the Roxy's.
Crack, or...
The 30-milligram Roxy pills. That was what everybody was taking. Alan was giving him those sometimes because Alan would take those. And so he assumed that I could get them because Alan could get them. And, you know, I brought him and, you know, I was in a motorcycle wreck and I was on those at one point. And, you know, so I took him to, like, that's one of the main reasons I picked him up, just to kind of talk to him that night and be like, you know, dude, you don't want that shit. Like, I was in a motorcycle wreck, man. Coming off of those pills is terrible. You know, I mean, and I figured I could just, you know, hang out with him and, you know.
If you didn't really know him that well, why did you let him come to your place?
I mean, because he'd been over there before.
Okay.
Like, and I mean, he worked at the Quick Trip right down the street from my house, so.
So what do you think, just take me through what happened that when he goes missing.
I mean, it's really not that much, like, it's like everybody says I, like, changed my story and all this stuff, but it's like, that was, like, what I did that day, you know? I mean, that wasn't really anything to do with Chase. It was like, you know, I ran a bunch of errands, what I was doing, you know, most of the time when I was fixing up my house. Like, he was there that night, and then, you know, basically... left sometime between when I was coming back from the store to when I started cooking. Like, I mean, he had to have. Like, I mean, that's the only logical thing. Like,
so you go on, I think it was March the 26th-ish, to pick him up at Quick Trip.
Mm-hmm.
And it was at night around...
It was like 10:30 or something.
10, okay. All right. You pick him up and bring him to your place...
Mm-hmm.
Directly, or do y'all drive around?
No, we just go direct. I mean, it was right down the street.
Okay, so you didn't drive around to hit, to score, and nothing like that. You go straight home. All right,
yeah.
So you go home. What does he do?
I mean, we just sit there and start talking. I had a bunch of stuff that I was building a computer with, so I had him help me carry a bunch of stuff in, and then I started building the computer that I was... It's actually not this one, but a different one. And I had, you know, we just sat there and kind of just talked, because we had talked... you know, two or three nights ago about the same thing, too.
What?
About him and Amanda fighting and all this stuff.
What did they fight about?
I mean, it was like money and stuff like that because she wasn't working. And, you know, he didn't really talk too much about it, but I just told him, you know, that, you know, he was a lucky guy and, you know, he's got two beautiful kids, got a beautiful wife. Like, I don't know, you know, it's okay. What most people want, you know, in life is to be, you know, fulfilled with those two things. And
yeah.
You know, how much, you know,
why was he not happy with that? Was it money problems, dope, what was it?
I think it was more or less money problems. I mean, because, you know, like I said, I really didn't know him that well. Like, and I mean, this was so long ago that we actually talked about this, like, you know, and it was mainly me talking, you know, other than him, you know, just sitting there listening. And, you know, he said that he was like telling Amanda he was gonna run off and like sleep in the woods and all this stuff.
What?
Yeah, you didn't hear that?
No.
Yeah, that's been another big thing, like...
Go off and sleep in the woods?
Yeah, and,
why? I wonder if he tried to do that and died.
I mean, I figured they would have found him, though, by then. Like...
What, just let me just... Go off and sleep in the woods. Okay. Go ahead.
And the story has been that he would do that when they were fighting. He would say, I just want to commit suicide. And so they were fighting during that time. So reportedly he made one of those threats and he was saying, hey, I just want to like go off in the woods and get lost.
Yeah.
Did you hear him say that?
Yeah. He said it, you know, a couple times and I was like, I always thought it was BSing, you know, I was just
calling. Because he wants to go sleep in the woods.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, he has friends,
nobody?
You know, and it's like.
So that night y'all stay up late talking about Amanda and you're working on the computer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then what happens? Is he...
I mean, he pretty much just, you know, was... I think he'd been up for, like, a couple days, like, tired. Like, I mean, you could tell he was barely hanging on and just passed out on my bed. And, I just continued to kind of, you know, work on stuff. And, you know, it was, gosh, I think, you know, the roofers got there at, like, 6 a.m. or something.
Yeah,
like that.
They always do that.
And started really early. And, you know, so I was just, you know... continuing to get on with stuff for my day. And, you know, I thought it'd be a good idea that I have, you know, Amanda come over and just kind of have like a cookout thing because, you know, I knew Brandon and them and the roofers and like I like to cook and stuff. And I know it's kind of odd to have a cookout, but like it was, you know,
fun.
It was yeah, it was something, you know.
Now, let me ask you this.
Nice to do, I felt like.
Did Amanda tell you early that day she had to be at some kind of an appointment for her children?
No.
Because that's what they're saying now.
That what? There was an appointment?
She told you early that day that she had to be at some appointment either with or for her children and could not come over.
No, I mean, that's, she just said that she couldn't come over, and after a while, I guess, I don't ever remember her telling me that day, like.
Okay, so, anyway, she didn't come over.
No, she didn't.
And you tried to get him to call Amanda and invite her over to kind of, like, make the peace.
Right.
Did he do it?
No, not that I know of. And, I mean, that's why I tried to talk to her on his phone, because I didn't have her number. Like, and that's why I had his phone in the first place, was to call her and ask her, mainly if he needed to be at work that day, because I didn't know, and he, you know, had to be work at nights most of the time, so.
And then what happened?
And then I kind of just went on with my day. Like, I mean, I just went and did, you know, stuff I normally do. I went to Lowe's. I had to drop a laptop off that I'd fixed for somebody.
What did you need at Lowe's?
I mean, I was fixing my house up, so yep. I can't tell you exactly what it was. I mean, just...
So you go to Lowe's, you go to the grocery store.
First, I went to go drop this laptop off that was down off of, it's my friend Ricky's house, which was, like, downtown pretty much.
He's over. You're going about your day. You're doing your thing. And you take the computer to Ricky, who lives...
He lives pretty much downtown.
Downtown, like, Atlanta?
Yeah.
And so, you are all the way up here?
In Kennesaw, right. And I told him he wanted to come with me.
That's 40 minutes and 40 minutes at least.
Yeah. It's probably more like 3 hours or something like that.
Yeah. By the time you get there, 40 minutes, in there 30 minutes, back 40 minutes at best.
Right.
Okay. So you leave him where?
He was upstairs. He was just asleep because, you know, this was probably like 8 o'clock, you know, that I was
A.M.
Yeah.
All right. So
he'd been asleep for like 5 hours, probably. Not even. Maybe 4, I'd say. 4 or 5.
That's what I always say. Nothing good happens after midnight. I mean, you always get in arguments. You know, everything goes sideways at midnight. Yeah, okay. So, yeah, because I don't want to lose any of this because I'm piecing it all together and make a timeline. All right, so you go at 8, 9, 10, 30. You get back.
Mm-hmm.
What's he doing?
Sleeping, same exact thing.
Door open, closed?
Door's open at this point because he's still in my room.
Your room?
Yeah. Okay. And this is when I got him up. And, I mean, I basically woke him up and was like, yo, come with me. Come on, I'm going to have a cookout. You know, call Amanda. And I dropped all the plans on him because I was like, man, I figured he'd be up by now, you know, ready to go and rolling. And got him up, and then I, you know, got to put him in the other bedroom because I was going to work on some stuff in my room at this point. And because I had like a 4-bedroom house. So,
dang.
Yeah, up in Kennesaw.
That's beautiful.
And it was, you know, I was like, you know, there's no point letting him sleep in my room. Continue when I got crap I got to do. And, you know, I was kind of like, you know, irritated at this point because I was like, you know, wanting him to be up so we could get stuff kind of rolling. But, you know, he was, you know, also, you know, could tell he hadn't been sleeping for a couple of days and, you know, had been fighting or whatnot.
So he went in the other bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
Door open, shut.
Door open.
So later that day, you gave the roofers a tour of your home. Was he there?
I didn't really give him a tour of my home because they'd been there before.
They told me that you gave him a tour of your home, that you showed him around your house.
I mean, I guess, but like that would probably be at like 4 o'clock or something, 4 or 5 o'clock. I mean, I didn't really think that was
later
significant.
In the day.
Yeah. But.
So you come back, you get back 10:30, 11-ish. You move him from your bedroom to the other bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
He crashes, door open, and you do what?
I start going and getting, you know, I have to, that's that point, I go.
Is this a
weekday
or a weekend?
I think it's a weekday, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Amanda wasn't working, so she could come over.
Probably. I mean, that's what I thought. You know, I didn't think she was doing anything but taking care of the kids.
Yeah.
Like, and I kind of wanted to, you know, squash this, you know, fighting thing, if it was really what it was. But see, remember, I gave Chase $60, too. I told him that. I gave him $60 the night before he asked me for money. And I told him, you know, yeah, you know, I'll give you this. But I got $60. He had it in his pocket the whole time, I'm pretty sure. I mean, I don't think he left and came back while I was, you know, gone that I know of, you know.
Okay, I mean, so you get back, try to wake him up. He goes in the other room. Then you start doing what?
After that, at that point, I go to Publix and Lowe's. And that's when I went and grabbed, I forget what it was I needed to grab at Lowe's, but I grabbed a little stuff to cook with at Publix. And that's when I came back, basically started up the grill. And it was probably, you know, 1-2 o'clock at this point. And, you know, after I started up the grill, I like set the backyard. Like I had a bunch of coals that pretty much some blew out to the yard. And like, I mean, Rufus literally had to get off the house because it was like so smoky from a fire that I at least started in the back.
The pine straw.
Yeah. And because there's nobody behind me in Kennesaw, it was like all woods back there. And basically after that, that's when I went and tried to, you know, get Chase up. I was like, man, did you see the fire in the backyard? Because the bedroom he was in was directly by the back. I mean, you could see that fire, like, you know, plain as day, you know. And that's when I realized he wasn't there anymore. And
what time was that?
I want to say it was like 2 or 3 o'clock. Something
when you
like
came
that.
Back from Publix, was he there?
I didn't check.
Were the bedrooms upstairs?
Yeah.
So you leave for Publix at what time?
It's probably 12-ish or something like that.
And he was there.
Mm-hmm.
You get back from Publix. You don't go up there. The pine straw catches on fire. And mm-hmm. you go up there at what time? About?
I want to say it was like between like 1 or 2 o'clock. It'd been like maybe 1 hour or something like that. Not even that long. Like before the last time I... Maybe 1:30 or something.
For you
like
to
that.
Leave him, go to Lowe's, go to Publix, get back, start a fire, put the fire out, and go up there.
It's probably more like 2 o'clock.
And he was gone.
And he was gone. And like he had taken his bag and everything that he had. Like he had a little bag, and then he left his two little bottles of beer in the closet. But other than that,
how big was the bag?
It's like a backpack.
Was it a backpack?
Yeah, it was a backpack.
So he leaves with his backpack and $60.
You said you helped him take his bags to the other room, though, right?
Yeah, it was that backpack.
It was just a backpack?
That backpack and, like, a, you know, grocery bag of 2 bottles of beer or something like that. So.
Did you see it coming, that he was leaving?
Yeah, he did that every time. Like, he would just disappear every time. Every time that he was over at my house, he would always, never tell me he was leaving, he would just disappear. The man would always pick him up. Like, so that was his M.O. So I wasn't too worried, you know.
How many times have he been over and disappeared?
2 or 3. I mean, each time he'd been in my house, he always just left because I was always like trying to get him to do something or like, you know, something like a cookout or just, I feel like something that he didn't want to do. You know, he was, you know, all about like just kind of getting stoned at that point. And, you know, like I said, I wasn't really smoking. So it was, I mean, it was kind
okay,
of his MO.
On another topic, Amanda hit on you?
I mean,
screwed up.
It was, you know, like, yeah, I would say yeah.
Like what?
Like, I mean, like she was mad at Chase and was just like, you know, basically, I'm stoned now, you know, anything goes. Like, you know, you just have like the eye connection thing, and it's just like, you know, you can tell when people are.
Wait. Is this another man thing where he thinks, oh, she's so into me and she's like so not?
No. I wouldn't say that.
So you really think she was hitting on you?
I mean, it's not like hitting on me, like grab my ass or anything, but like, I mean, she was like, you know, feeling it out at least. Like, I mean, she called me and told me to come over there. To bring her some pot for like, you know, just some bizarre reason. Like, you know, it was just kind of.
You think she was trying to get back at Chase?
You know, I hope so. Like that was kind of what
yeah,
I was.
Yeah, because otherwise that means it. Yeah. Okay.
I mean.
Okay, back to the day. All right, so around you think 2 o'clock, you notice he's not gone and his backpack is gone.
Mm-hmm.
Now, earlier that day, you had taken his cell phone with you. Why?
Because, I mean, I think I just really had it with me, but I really wanted him to stay and, you know, wait for him to Amanda to come over because I knew he always left. that was his MO. You know, he'd always leave. So if I had a cell phone, he wasn't going to leave right away. And but that was like early in the morning when I thought that Amanda and him would come over, and before I, you know, moved him out of the bedroom, and because I really wanted to talk to him again, you know, to make sure that, you know, nothing crazy was going to happen. But, you know, sure enough.
So would the roofers have been in a position to see him leave?
They should have. Like, that's what I thought. You know, that's why I assumed they just saw him leave. Because, I mean, they were worked there. The house had a steep... See, at this point, when it was really smoky, they had to get down off the roof there. Because that's, you know, and that's why I assumed, you know, that Chase had heard them running around or whatever. I don't even know how he was sleeping with all that noise. Like, I mean...
I've been told that you had a big black bag of stuff you threw away in a dumpster. What was it?
A big black bag? Probably ceiling tiles, all kinds of crap. I mean, I'm completely redoing the house. I mean, the whole dumpster thing is kind of ridiculous to me. Because I had all my neighbors throw stuff in it. Like, yeah. I mean, it was just
Why
like...
Why do you think everybody's pointing the finger at you?
Because I'm the person that nobody knows, and I'm just like that odd piece
that's
blamed. The
last one to see
yeah.
him and all that. And his disappearance doesn't make sense, but in a way, it does. If he kept telling people he was going to leave and go live in the woods. Are you sure about that?
Yeah, that was, I mean, that's well known too, I'm pretty sure. I mean, that he said that. I think his mom even knows that. Like,
how badly do you think he and Amanda were fighting?
I mean, bad enough to where she would just throw him out of the car, like, randomly. Like, because they want to fight in front of the kids and stuff. And, you know, that was,
Do you think he would actually leave his children?
I, you know, wouldn't have thought that, you know, but, I mean...
And I could see somebody leaving their wife if they fought all the time, but the children, that's the thing. That's where I don't buy him going into the woods, because I don't think he would have left those children.
I mean, I don't think that he would have left for a significant period of time, but definitely a short period of time. And just to kind of...
What was the relationship between him and his mother?
I don't know.
Because she says he always called her back, he always texted her back, and that's how she knew something was wrong.
I didn't really know his mom. Like, I'd never met his mom. Like I said, I, you know, only met him a handful of times, really.
Okay, will you take a polygraph with me?
Do you want me to take a polygraph?
Yes. Not sitting right here. But I'll set one up and just put the whole thing to rest.
I mean, I can, if that's what it takes. But it's just,
don't
I don't
be afraid
know.
Of a polygraph.
It's
not a big deal. They're
that's
not
fine.
Hard at all.
I mean.
Because now I know where you live, kind of.
Right. So are we done then?
Stephanie's on the way.
Stephanie.
On the way here?
Yeah.
Right now?
Yeah.
Dude, no, man. My apartment's destroyed.
No, this is.
I didn't know that.
I want to take a shower.
No, that's right. You were in an interview. I don't want to tell you.
Next, episode 4 of Finding Chase Masner. Stephanie Cadena, Chase's mother, finally gets to meet Brad Clements and ask him the question she's been yearning to hear the answers to for so long, and we are there. Please join us for episode 4, Finding Chase Masner.
Stephanie, what you've been waiting for. Brad, the last person that, as of right now, we know saw Chase alive. And I know you've got a lot of questions. Hit it.
But what was the last thing Chase said to you? When was the last time you talked to him?
Oh, last time I talked to him, I mean, we were just talking about him and Amanda, pretty much. And, you know, it was, the exact words I can't, you know, can't remember. Because, I mean, we were pretty much just having a good time. Like, that was, you know, he'd come over and we were just, you know, again, I pretty much reiterated the fact that he was a lucky guy to have, you know, a wife and two little girls that loved him. And, I mean, that's all I would ever really tell him about that. Like, we never got really into depth of, you know, how they were fighting or what they were fighting over. I think he mainly just wanted to kind of, you know, a break from her.
Again, thank you, CrimeCon, for sponsoring our podcast today as we try our very best to illuminate the disappearance of Iraqi vet Chase Masner and hopefully to bring him home to his mother. CrimeCon, you made today possible. CrimeCon, go to CrimeCon.com and find out the latest about the convergence of crime busters and crime sleuths across the country, June 9 through June 11 in Indianapolis at the JW Marriott. Use code Nancy for 20% off your registration. I'm doing it. Nancy Grace signing off. Thank you for being with us in our efforts to find Chase Masner. Goodbye, friend.
In the 90s, New York detective Louis Scarcella locked up the worst criminals.
Putting bad guys away. There's no feeling like it.
Then jailhouse lawyers took aim, led by Derek Hamilton.
Scarcella took me to the precinct and lied.
20 men eventually walked free. Now, in the Burden podcast, after a decade of silence, Louis Scarcella finally tells his story, and so does Derek Hamilton. Listen to The Burden on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.